What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
You know what? I decided right before we started I'm not doing some fancy intro. So what's going on, Gary?
Hey, Seth. How are you, man?
I'm good. Like, why? Everybody knows what they're listening to right now. So, I mean, let's just get right into it. We're back. We're trying to make this a weekly thing. You know, Gary and I talk throughout the week with the world of wrestling. There's always some shit going on. And, you know, this week, I know that the big news to me in wrestling outside of, you know, anything you worry about with AEW is Rhea Ripley having to vacate her title. I'll tell you, I saw it on Twitter and earlier in the day that she might have to vacate as early as it was Monday night. And Gary, like, I got like a feeling that I do when like one of my favorite players gets hurt in football or basketball or something like that. Like Ja Morant, like, is one of my favorite basketball players. He was out for the year. Like, I get like that sick feeling. And I got that with Rhea Ripley for some reason. I don't know if that means that I'm in love with her or I'm connected to what she does, but It was an emotional thing. How did you take the news, and what do you think is going to happen with that belt from here on?
Well, I was incredibly bummed to hear because she's been on an all-time run. I mean, if you look at WrestleMania, some people might have said, hey, she should have dropped it to Becky or whatever. But I was like, no, man, I could really see her going on like a long, like not necessarily a Roman Reigns, like 4-year reign, but like at least 2. And so I was a little bummed to see that happened. But here's the thing, dude, when she comes back, like, it's going to be a huge return. Like, I feel like they're going to have her like out for blood. And I'm hoping, back to your second question, that they do get it on Liv, because that would just be like the natural thing. She injured her legit. And then you guys set up like this crazy blood feud. And now we got, you know, some TV magic here.
So my thing is that I saw that they were starting the feud with Liv, and, you know, like you had mentioned, I don't know if Rhea was going to go on a Roman Reigns, like, you know, reign with the belt, but they need to build other people up to beat her. And I kind of, like I said, I don't know what shows everybody's going to be on, how everything's going to shake out, but when I just look at the women's roster as a whole, and I know I'll talk about them every week because I think that they're the best. You know, to me, it's Bianca and Jade Cargill, the only people that legitimately, I think, could stand up to Rhea Ripley. And it looks believable. It looks legit. Like, I know people are big into Liv Morgan and everything, but I mean, like, Rhea Ripley, to me, just, she would crush her, you know, like in a real match. Like, you look at them and I'm like, I don't believe it. So those are the people to me. Bianca is obviously ready to take it. Jade Cargill needs to be built up over, you know, the next year and a half to, you know, to get to that point. So is there anybody else that you think it would be in the mix other than Liv?
Oh, man. I mean, on the Raw side, I don't see a lot of upside there. On the SmackDown side, with like Jade and Bianca, to your point, I mean, those are like the two most obvious. So you move one of them over to Raw at some point. I don't care who. Preferably Jade, I would say, I guess, because we haven't really seen her go on like a major tear yet. But I would say that Jade Cargill, you know, like, you build her up. But I do, you know, they started the Liv thing with Rhea. I do want to see that come to fruition no matter what. But Jade and Rhea will definitely be a crazy match.
Yeah, I think
so good.
I think everybody sees dollar signs with that down the road. So, and then, so here was another development that happened this week. And, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't watch it at all, but I watch online. Like, I can get all the clips. I can see what's happening. So
yeah.
Actually, you can explain it better, Gary. What's going on with the Bloodline? Is Solo Sikoa taking over? Are his wild cousins, you know, taking over? I loved seeing Paul Heyman act like he was in such fear being around those guys. Tell me what happened on over Raw and SmackDown, and tell me where you think it's heading.
Yeah, so Solo and Paul were out there with Jimmy Uso. I almost confuse the two sometimes, Jimmy and Jay. But that was on SmackDown. And, you know, Solo Sikoa is basically, like, establishing that, like, he's in control. And he, you know, took out the Jimmy Uso, and Paul Heyman is like freaking out because he does not, he believes that like Roman Reigns doesn't want it to go down like this. He wants to call Roman Reigns. And when he tries to do that, Solo stomps the phone on the mat multiple times, actually. And then we get Tama Tonga out there. And Tama Tonga, look, he was part of the Bullet Club, New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm not like the hugest New Japan fan, but I have seen some Tama Tonga stuff. I've met him. He is an incredible worker, and I think he's going to do very well. I hope that this is a bridge to see Haku pop in even as part of the bloodline there.
King Haku from back in the day?
Yeah, that's Tama Tonga's his son. Yeah.
Okay, so what's the relation to Tonga and the Reigns? Are they cousins?
Oh, fuck, man. You got me there. Probably cousins, yeah.
I'm assuming everybody's a fucking cousin at this point. Everybody that gets rolled out.
I think that's fair, yeah.
So I've seen stuff online where people are going, this is where Roman turns babyface because, you know, he doesn't want this. People are saying that The Rock is pulling the strings behind the scenes. You know, I don't know what they're setting up. People think that they're going to force, like, The Rock versus Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam. People are thinking they're going to force Roman Reigns versus The Rock. I don't know when The Rock's coming back. I know Roman Reigns, I saw today, is filming a movie. I actually wrote it down. He's filming a movie called Good Fortune, and
yeah,
with freaking Seth Rogen and Keanu Reeves. So, I mean, I'm glad Roman Reigns is getting into the movie scene like, you know, The Rock and John Cena did. I think Roman will be back sooner than later. But is this...
Yeah.
Do you see this as something where Roman could turn babyface? And because I don't think The Rock's turning. I think everybody thought The Rock, but I think The Rock is going to go through this phase as his character as a heel through and through. Do you see Roman Reigns turning and coming back and the crowd being behind him for his next run?
I think it's very realistic because if you look at the reaction that he's gotten just in the last year as the Bloodline story has really elevated and just gone up and up and up. You know, people, they pop when they see him. There are still the boos, like when, you know, he's messing with Cody or, you know, when he was feuding with Sami Zayn way back when last year. But I think the people are ready for it. And I think that his babyface character doesn't have to be the, what was that phrase he used? Suffering succotash, like back in 2015. Like, he doesn't have to be that smiling, you know, shield best guy.
Like he can be the badass like Stone Cold Steve Austin was. Like Austin was the same guy to me, whether he was a heel, whether it was a babyface. Like to me, there's guys that are just bigger than being heel or babyface, you know? And I think Roman's one of them. People love Roman. People hate Roman. It's just like how John Cena was. I feel like John Cena's more universally loved now that he's part-time than every week when people were saying John Cena sucks and, you know, half the people love them, half the people hate him. I feel like people could really, really get behind Roman. Ultimately, with the Cody Rhodes thing, I don't know how that plays out. You know, maybe that story's done. But I'm interested with the Bloodline because here's the thing I know with Solo. So I saw a stat online, so I'm just going to believe it's true. Solo was about, I think, 0 for 35. Like 0 wins and 35 losses in his last match, whether it was they counted house shows, whatever. And, you know, I know it, you know, they're using him to, you know, put other guys over and everything. But, like, they're not going to job the guy out forever. Like, the guy is a force. The guy's scary. Like, he's going to develop into, you know, a top guy. So I feel like he's not going to get jobbed out in this scenario. I don't see Roman Reigns or somebody coming back and putting him in his place. I feel like he is now established as, whether it's a travel chief or whatever, he's someone that has kind of moved up a peg.
Yeah, I think the ultimate big picture goal is Rock and Roman, and Solo will be throughout that. But I think he needs to have his coming out party in a big match, and preferably with Roman. Maybe that's a SummerSlam. That could be considered too soon, but a bigger event, and have him just have a coming out party where he just shows what he's got, and it elevates to him. You get Roman getting the sympathy from the fans, and we can start that kind of turn into the babyface situation, and Tama Tonga can be the muscle on the side, ready to jump in. And, you know, about Roman Reigns, you know, I was just mentioning about his suffering succotash era back like 7 years ago. I really believe, like, under this new, as they call it, the Paul Levesque era, that I think that the creative will be a lot more generous to him than last time around, because they were kind of showing hints of it, I think, as early as like 2014, like when he's in the Rumble and he had like the Kevin Nash like spot where he's like knocking all these guys out of the Rumble and he looked like a badass. But once Vince was kind of like putting everything into him, then they started having him do all that like cheesy smiling bullshit that, you know, Cena did. And it made a lot of people kind of resent that and turn against him.
You know, you got to play part of yourself. Like when you're a character, I think, you know, I think that's part of you. Rhea Ripley's talked about it before. She saw, you know, a bunch of blonde girls on the roster. She's blonde herself, you know, and she was like,
oh, yeah.
And she tapped into like, you know, her gothic side and everything. So I'm interested, obviously, like everybody else is, to see how that plays out. But I think that Solo has been jobbed out for long enough. And now I think that he finally waited his turn now to be established. So, like I said, we'll see how that goes. Chad Gable is something that I know that you wanted to talk about this week. That's a guy that I feel like has been, what is he, like a crowd favorite? Like they never,
yes,
they've never really, really put him over. Like he's looked good in certain spots, but WWE's never fully gone with putting Chad Gable over. Is this going to be it for him?
I don't know if this is going to elevate him to the main event. And I think you and I were talking on a text, like he should like go back down to NXT. And I mean this in a complimentary way for those listening. Like I'm not saying demote the guy, but people like Baron Corbin, hello, he would like a word. People go down there and they have a resurgence. And so if he's not going to be like tippy top here at the WWE, he can go to NXT. But focusing on now, an incredible heel turn on Monday in Sami Zayn's hometown. He's hugging his wife and he just rolls up from behind with a German on the floor.
That looked tough, actually. And that looked like a tough landing.
It looked brutal, man. I would not take that if you paid me. But, dude, the thing about it is that Chad has never had a chance to really be that kind of like evil, maniacal heel. He's been heel before, like in the American Alpha Tag Team, but not to this degree. So I'm hoping at the bare minimum, it's like an upper mid-card feud where it's going to get some TV time for at least, yeah, let's say a month or two, or, you know, let's see where it goes.
But there's no way that he's taking the strap off Sami Zayn right now. Like, there's no way that you build Gunther up for, what is it, 2-3 years, and you have Sami Zayn take the strap off him. Sami Zayn is going to be highlighted here for a while. So, I mean, to build up with a feud with Sami Zayn to possibly come out of it a loser, like, I don't know how that works for him at all, like, Gary. I mean, I'm sure that this is already thought out a few steps down the road. It's not like Vince is running the show where, you know, he'll figure it out from week to week. But I just don't know. To me, I see it from a mile away that I just don't think Sammy's letting go of that belt anytime soon.
Well, no, and the thing about it too, Seth, is like people may not agree with this take, but I'm committing because this is just how I truly believe. I think there is a way where Chad does not have to win the title, but he can still be a guy and a meaningful guy. To me, it's all in how you do the presentation. You know, if you throw him out there and you beat him in 90 seconds, he ain't going to be shit.
Right.
But if you let him go out there, you let him tear it up, you let it be believable, and Sammy can still come out on the top, and I'm happy. Really, either guy could have the title, and I'm super happy. I like both guys. But if you put him out there and you give him enough, he's going to be just fine. There are a lot of guys that don't need the title to be fine. They can be a guy in the mix doing important stuff. It's just in how you do it with the presentation, and I feel a lot more confident in Triple H's ability to present these guys versus Vince, because Vince had Chad doing the shoosh thing and all that kind of stuff, and I know it caught on, and people, you know, people still do it, but it's, to me, I think there's a presentation here that can be put on, and it will make this guy feel like something important and significant.
I meant to talk about this when we were talking about Rhea Ripley early on, but did you see the video that WWE put out of her when she came backstage after she made the announcement, and like Damian Priest was like waiting there, giving her a hug and everything like that? And
yes,
that was, I mean, I like what they're doing, you know, with the intro, like that's Sami Zayn had. Like the his,
oh my god!
I mean,
yes,
that was where did it start?
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Where was Jey Uso? Were they outside? What were they staring at?
Jey Uso had left the ring. He shoved some kid in the hallway, and then he went outside. He just shoves a kid on live TV. I'm like, man. And so they go out front, and they're looking up at a sign, and I believe it's a sign of the building, okay, probably with like the marquee or whatever. And then so Sammy, I think, is just kind of like taking it all in, like, wow, I'm main eventing with the title in my hometown. And that's when they made that sweet little transition. The gentleman whose name is running the whole production now is this guy called Lee Fitting. And it's a team effort, as Triple H would say. He said there's many guys you need to credit, but Lee Fitting is like the guy that's running it all, and he's doing just phenomenal work. They're making this shit look like a movie on live TV, and it's mad props to those guys.
Yeah, I don't know if it's hiring this guy. I don't know if it's, you know, Vince wanted to do things a certain way for so long, but you could tell when there was like a little power struggle when it was between Triple H and Vince, you could see new things shining through. You could see new superstars trying to get pushed through. You could see little things. But I mean, the way that they're doing it now, it's not like it's completely changed the game, but like they are so far ahead of the game right now. I think that's kind of why people are looking down on AEW, because there's just a huge boom in wrestling right now. I mean, it can't get any bigger. Yeah. I mean, this might be it. This might be the bubble for wrestling. And people look to AEW because they want solid competition. They want to watch wrestling as much as they can, and they hate it. I don't know if we had talked about on the podcast last week about the footage and watching it.
No.
We didn't even talk about that at all.
No.
So
no, it was before the it aired.
So because we did this on Wednesday, and there's a show on Wednesday.
Yeah, they air at 8 p.m. Okay. On TBS.
All right, so that works. So tell me, we knew it was going to be a bad idea. I think they got like 70,000 more people watching than the week before by running it.
Yeah.
Like, tell me your thoughts on what you saw and if it's going to do anything to AEW, good or bad.
I don't know how you win through it. I think right after the footage aired, like they had, like every time there's a segment on their show, they have a video of that segment up on their Twitter within about 5 to 10 minutes. And so once it aired, they showed the Young Bucks setting up the entire video, cutting to the video, but in the social media post, the video was cut out and it just transitioned into, well, yeah, there's the footage, guys, and blah, blah, blah. And so it's like they didn't even commit to their own bit. Like,
what? I heard they didn't want to do it. I heard that they got forced to do it. Did you see that?
Well, they did some, if that's true, I did hear about that. If that is indeed true, they were doing, I guess, some damage control on, like, I read an interview with Sports Illustrated, the Young Bucks, where they were like, no, like, we were totally cool to do it. Our boss wanted to do it. We didn't have a problem. Because I remember that report coming out. But they didn't even commit to it. Like, it's not on their YouTube page. It's not on their social media. It is hidden from everything. And so a bunch of people, of course, got very clever and said, I'm going to take the Punk footage of him on the MMA hour. I'm going to take the video footage and we're going to sync it up. And it matched up pretty perfectly, but they were sending DCMA shutdowns to every one of those videos. They wanted that thing off the internet as fast as possible. So to me, Seth, I don't even think that they were believing in it 100%. I think it's probably just something that Tony really just felt he needed to do. Like, he needed a response to that interview on the MMA Hour, and that was it. And I just, to me, it added nothing. It kind of turned me off a little bit from it, because I think it's very important, and I need to clarify this, because, you know, people will say, like, a lot of the tribalism, they'll say, you know, well, you just love WWE. Listen to your podcast. All you guys do is talk about how great WWE is. I've been an AEW fan since day one. I love their product, Seth. I've watched through all the eras, through the pandemic era when they were at Daly's Place every freaking week. And I've been following them since the beginning, and I believed in their product. And I think they have one of the best wrestlers or wrestling rosters on the planet. I think it's just in the presentation, and it's also the fact that WWE got really hot again. And so people's time, you know, they want to devote it to one and not both.
Does Tony Khan need to, and this is much like, you know, to me, I'll compare it to like football, when you got a football coach who wants to start making personnel decisions, you know, much like Bill Belichick. Do you think Tony Khan is going to need to go, I got a lot of money, I got a lot of talent, I got to just get out of the way and let somebody run this that's either done it before, or I think that can do it for the next 20 years. You know, the next Eric Bischoff, the next Paul Heyman. I know those guys are probably not out there, but do you think he's thinking that right now?
I feel like, to him, I think he just has so much of his own vision, and he does not want to, like, break from the vision. And it doesn't matter if it's working or not. Like, he's like, if I just keep going, we're going to get to where we want to be. I think that's how he truly thinks. And so, you know, he is making some hirings. He is bringing some people in to run some of the live events and the promotions. God knows they need it. That's one of their weakest points, is like they're not doing like the radio and all the media stuff locally like they should. And it's resulting in these small crowds. And it sucks, because you got Will Ospreay, you got Okada, you got the Young Bucks, you got Kenny Omega, Brian Danielson. You have like all these amazing people, and more fans deserve to see these guys because they're incredibly hardworking, which is another reason why I think showing this video was a bad idea, because you're only bringing up bad stuff, and you should spend the time highlighting this incredible talent and doing something with them, and maybe also getting a little more creative of what you're doing with Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné. Last week, she's laying on the floor moaning. Did you see that?
No,
clip?
I have.
Oh, dude.
And look, I'll tell you, Gary. Just as a, and I don't watch AEW unless it's like a big thing. And nothing against AEW. I lost track of Sasha after her initial debut. I haven't heard a peep about her.
Dude, I will find this clip and text you later. She was literally like, seriously, laying on the floor moaning like she was getting fucked. I'm like, what is happening? Like, the screen went black. You know, the presumption is that she got attacked, obviously. That's why she's on the floor. I'm not leaving that out. But it's just like, I don't know what they're doing with her. Like, she just comes on every weekend's like, I'm so happy to be here. She hasn't wrestled yet. Nothing.
Well, you know what? And I'm not, yeah, a lot of people have, in my career, have been all over me and about the decisions I made and everything, if I made the right decision or the wrong decision, if I'm a loser and stuff. But I feel like Sasha Banks would be very, very happy if she was back in WWE right now. I feel like this is all she ever wanted, I feel like, was the change, and then Triple H running the show and highlighting women, and it's all happening, and she's in AEW at what looks like to be, you know, one of the most tumultuous times that it's had so far.
Yeah, it's pretty bad timing. And you're mentioning earlier, who do you put Rhea Ripley with? There's another option right there. If she was back with WWE, you could throw her right in there, and it's a big time match all day long.
What's going on? Is Will Ospreay the best wrestler in the world?
I mean, if we're talking about him or Bryan Danielson, and that's been like the whole build of their match, I think Will, you got to give the nod to Will, man. I mean, look, Bryan Danielson has had an incredibly storied career from Ring of Honor, his matches with Nigel McGuinness, the stuff he did in WWE, even though they were trying to like literally bury him every chance they got, and he shined right through. The stuff with The Miz, that was like one of my favorite segments, and it wasn't even on one of their main shows. And the stuff he's done in AEW, that match with Kenny Omega at Arthur Ashe Stadium back in 2021. I mean, you could really make the argument both ways, but when you see the Will Ospreay stuff he's done, the stuff he did in Japan, and like I said, I'm not a big Japan fan, but when he was in big time matches at, like, you know, the Tokyo Dome, I was watching him. And, you know, everything he's done in AEW, he's just been top notch all the way. I think you give the nod to Ospreay.
What is, if, and I don't think I've seen Will Ospreay wrestle. If I needed to watch one Will Ospreay match, what would it be? What would you recommend?
Holy shit. That's a question. I would go him and Omega.
Okay.
That would be the one from, would that be Forbidden Door 2022? No, 23.
Okay.
2023, yeah. That's the one to see. Very stiff match.
That's how I like it. And I haven't seen Omega wrestle too much. I know I've watched a couple of his matches. All right, so I know that we talked about, or you and I had texted this week about Charles Barkley. He got interviewed and he came out, and I don't know how I knew Charles Barkley was into wrestling. It couldn't have just been from him coming out with his five favorite wrestlers, but I felt like I had heard about it. Charles Barkley, one of my favorite, you know, athletes and just people of all time, with kind of how he says it. I don't know if you dabble with, you know, Charles Barkley at all, Gary.
I've seen some clips. I've definitely seen some clips. I appreciate that he speaks his mind.
Yes,
for sure.
Absolutely. So Charles Barkley came out and talked about his five favorite superstars. I guess I'm going to just say this is currently in WWE. His five favorite superstars of all time. Charles Barkley says The Rock, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso. Nothing crazy, you know.
Jimmy Uso. Wow.
I mean, who knows what Uso? Maybe he didn't know what Uso he was picking. But, I mean, a pretty solid list. You and I had talked about last week about, you know, kind of favorite wrestlers of all time. Do you want to give me, your list at all? You want my list? How do you think we should do this?
I think we'll just go one at a time.
Okay.
And we can let it play out and see kind of where we go. So top five. Now, are we talking about like just our like personal feelings and personal level on it? Are we considering their contributions to the business? How are we breaking this down?
That's a good question. I'm going to go ahead and just say that this is, you know, I got six people. One of them to me is, all right, you know what? I'm just going to say this. Shinsuke Nakamura. I fucking love Nakamura. I loved him from the second that I saw him debut on NXT versus Sami Zayn. I thought that his intro and his character was mesmerizing. I watched the intro over and over again, Gary. Like, it got me legitimately pumped up. Like, that match was incredible. Like, Sami Zayn completely put him over. And from that moment, I was like, Shinsuke is a fucking superstar. And it happened. He was the champion. Like, he got promoted and everything like that. Gary, I went to a rec hall in Tampa, like down by USF in a real shady part of town, to go watch Nakamura, you know, in a seat in a place that probably holds like, you know, 300 people. And like, I wanted to see him up close. Like, that's how, and you know, he got to WWE, he won the Royal Rumble. They had him go against AJ Styles, which I thought were three very uneventful matches. And although he's been IC champion, I feel like he's essentially been buried, you know, and I don't know what they could do with him. To me, I thought he was, you know, top-notch material, and that's one of my favorite guys. I don't think that he's going to be in the conversation of one of the all-time greats, so I struggled with putting him in there, but I am very passionate about him, and I figured that it would take you by surprise, so I wanted to let you know.
Well, you know what, I appreciate that you had a guy that's kind of like, you know. So is he technically one of the five, or is he like number six on the outside?
I'm giving him the boot because I'm sliding Bianca Belair in now, because she's definitely one of my favorites. But Shinsuke, like Shinsuke, I like him. I'm disappointed in, you know, how it's all played out for him in WWE. Like, I wish that he could shine a little bit more, but I just think he's been jobbed out.
Yeah, I mean, I really appreciated the stuff that he did with Cody. What was that, earlier in the year, kind of late last year, earlier this year? I really appreciated the storytelling they did with that. I mean, it was like the first time Shinsuke had something like of significance that he could sink his teeth into. So I really like that feud. Now, since you got to add a guy, I wanted to do one as well that would be on the outside. Somebody that you actually mentioned, the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. I feel like he's a real pioneer of the business, especially with small guys. I think most people, they're going to say when it comes to smaller wrestlers, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, that's who they credit. I think it's totally fair. I would never argue you on that. But I think that AJ was one of those guys to me that he may not be in the top five, but he was a guy that would be like knocking on the door, because he kind of like pushed the business forward for what small guys could do and contribute. And I hope I don't get any heat, because I remember he was talking crap about Bubba at the TNA event. So I hope that's not a heat getter. But he is, from the wrestling perspective exclusively, he is a pioneer. And for that, he is an honorable mention for me.
And I don't want to, all right, we haven't officially started our top five, but what's going on?
Yes.
What's going on with AJ? Do you think he's going to be the one that gets the title shot with Cody Rhodes? I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, he's the heel right now.
I hope so. I mean, you know, LA Knight has, yeah, if it would be 1-1 if AJ beats LA Knight. So I'd like to see him get the nod, beat LA Knight, and then be that just natural heel for Cody. You know, two guys that were used to be like Bullet Club and all that. You could play up on that. And, you know, from a just in the ring perspective, I think it's going to be a great match. And the people over in France are going to love it.
It's tough. I just feel like now anybody who goes against Cody, I just feel like they're just getting sacrificed because Cody's going to be holding on to that strap for a long fucking time. So AJ Styles, he's mentioned many times his career is winding down. So I hope there's another run in him somehow where WWE can kind of prop him up because I don't think it's in this feud with possibly Cody possibly.
No. I hope he'll get like one final like big significant run of some sort because he's just super talented and I'd like to see him be able to just do something of meaning because I feel like the last time he's done something like super meaningful was like the feud with John Cena. It was like 5-6 years ago. So
yeah, no, those were great stuff. Like pretty much when he debuted, they had him going through everybody. So all right, Gary, I'm just gonna rip you off my top five because I'm not even interested in my top five. I'd rather hear about yours. So I'm gonna go ahead and throw Bianca Belair on there. I think she's an all time great. I've been a fan since the second I saw her. I thought she was a superstar. And she did a cameo for my daughter, blah, blah, blah. Love Bianca Belair. I've got Gunther on there. I think Gunther he's what been one of my recent favorites. I don't think it's recency bias because I think they are setting Gunther up to be a fucking monster. Like, I don't know if it's going to be Brock Lesnar type stuff, but like they are setting Gunther up. I enjoyed Gunther's Intercontinental title run. I had no interest in any other belts at all other than the main one. So I thought that the fact that he was able to suck you in with how he wrestled, had some banger matches with Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. So I got Gunther up there. And then to me, it's your standard ones. You could shake them up all from the Attitude Era. I got the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, especially for what he's doing now in NXT. I mean, that needs to
be. Oh, my God.
I think he's one of the all-time greats. And then Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. And, you know, that's it. Those are my guys. Of course, there's a shitload of guys. Ric Flair, Undertaker. Yeah, all the Roman Reigns, John Cena, all these guys, you know, but that's who I settled on. That's when my peak wrestling was the Attitude Era like everybody else. So, you know, I'm going to stick with those guys and then a couple from this era.
Yeah, I think that's a great list. I, you know, because at the time I got started watching wrestling, it was like 87 or 88. I was a tiny little kid. So the first guy I have to mention, I swear to God, it's not a rib or anything. Hulk Hogan, obviously, he's right there. At the very top for me personally.
Has it faded just how at all? Far. Like over the years with just Hulk, and this doesn't have anything to do with Bubba, but just like just the Hulk just be doing weird shit, whether it's, you know, saying the N-word or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, it just seems like he's been sullied, like, and the WWE uses him, like, way less than they could.
Well, the first time you hear him on, like, some old interview that when he was on Bubba's show, it was like, that already kind of took the magic out of it because he was like this mythical, you know, almighty superhero character. And then he's just like casually dropping, you know, the N-word or whatever. So it takes some of the magic out of it. But the opinion that I'm basing is based purely off of before him in that context. And probably I would say even before I started hearing him on the show and all that, we're talking like his 80s run into what he did in the 90s. And stopping it right there because it just moved the business so far forward, way farther than I think any of those territory promoters thought wrestling would go to when Vince came in and pretty much just mopped the floor with those guys. But he's one of the guys, I think from there you have to say Stone Cold. He's got to be on there. Shawn Michaels, that's another one that's got to be on there 100%. I would want to add Rock. But then I'd have to go with a guy like John Cena because he is the guy that, you know, really for the longest time was the most consistent. And even through a lot of the bad booking and character decisions they had for him. He always made the best out of it as much as he could, and I have to honor him as one of those top guys. And this is probably going to be the biggest heat of all time for people listening. They're going to play, are you kidding me? There's so many other people that could be on this list. But how do you not have Cody Rhodes in a top five list? This guy is the epitome of following your dreams, working hard, and shoving it in everybody's face who told you you couldn't do it. They said, hey, you suck, you're fired. He went out, he traveled the world, he worked every shitty indie show that you could imagine. He started a revolution with the Young Bucks and got Tony Khan to throw some money at it and make a company called AEW. And then he got so big that WWE came knocking on his door wanting him back. I mean, and he won the world title, Seth. How do you not include this guy? So for me, to my opinion, you have to put him on that list. He has to be there.
Okay, listen, I'm not going to argue any of this stuff. And the way that you kind of, Cody Rhodes has done what probably a lot of people have set out to do in their lives and not been able to. But yeah, to be able to be jobbed out like he was a Stardust and whatever, he tried his fucking best. I like the character, yeah. But it wasn't heavyweight championship material. So yeah, the way that he kind of fought through that and then went out and just, you know, he look. You saw the guys lining up. They're kissing his. They love the guy right now. I mean, he's their main dude. So yeah, I'm all for that, Gary. Anything else? Anything else going on or spinning around in your head that happened in the world of wrestling? I'm excited about the pay per view coming up. That's going to be in France. It's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which is just fucking. I love the different times that they do it. Not the ones that happen at like 5 o'clock in the morning, like the Australia shit. But like, I love when they go to another country and it's like at a time where it's not creeping late at the end of the night.
As a guy who has a East Coast job very early in the morning, at least for now, it sucks to get up that early. Let me tell you, it absolutely sucks to get up super early. And yeah, pay-per-view's going to what, 11, 12 o'clock? It sucks. So I'm all for it. I am also excited for the AEW show. I will be ordering it. And again, I know I've been critical on this show, but I still am a fan. I still want to see him succeed. And I damn sure want to see Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay. So to me, I'm super excited to watch that show and hopefully give us something to talk about next week.
Can you give me like a backdoor link to that match so I can watch it?
The responsible answer would be no, Seth. But right. Yes, I think we can.
All
do
right,
it.
Perfect. Thanks, man. I can't.
No problem.
I looked up one time. I wanted to watch an AEW show one time, and I looked it up, and it was like $50 or $60. I was like, what the hell? I thought it'd be like $10-$15. So,
dude, I'm using a VPN and calling out to the UK. I mean, I'm still buying it, but it's like $20.
All right. Well, that's not bad at all, man. So.
The Americans, Seth, we are getting fucked like you would not believe.
That's right. I'm getting fucked. That's why I need it for free. So listen, Gary, thanks very much, man. I'm going to watch that and we'll come back next week and we'll talk about that. And then, well, there's enough going on in WWE right now to, you know, at least chat about every single week for a few minutes. So we'll be doing this for a little while, man. I appreciate you sticking with it.
No, and I appreciate it too. And if I may just say very quickly in closing to everybody listening, I just want to say thank you so much. The feedback that I've gotten, that Seth's gotten, has just been incredible. So thank you so much for sharing that feedback. Thank you so much for sharing the link to the podcast at Gary Cantrell, at Seth Cush. Please let us know what you think. We appreciate it, and we're always listening. And sincerely, thank you very much, guys.
And if you think it sucks, keep it to your fucking self.